Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio episode 1501. A lot of episodes, yeah. Oh, this is Danny Pena, and thank you for joining, listening, and also watching GTR. Man, shout out to everybody who's been sending us messages about our 1500th episode. Thank you so much for the support. But this episode, we have a special guest, and we're going to be talking about Crimson Desert that we got a chance to play a couple days ago, man. So we have Kevin. Kevin, what's up, man?
Introduce
yourself for those that don't know about you.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. I've been around before, but it's been a couple of years now. My name's Kevin Kenson. I am primarily I guess the term's YouTuber. I don't know. Whenever I say it, it feels weird coming out of my mouth. But yeah, I make content on YouTube primarily. You know, I used to be a little more leaning kind of in the hardware side of things, but nowadays I kind of just do whatever I want that's gaming related. So hardware, game reviews, industry news, all that kind of good stuff. I also actually started doing a podcast last year with a buddy of mine, Cameron Hawkins, where we do JRPG specific stuff because that's a genre that we're both just really into.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot more RPGs more than ever, right?
It's been a dense, yeah. Like last year was a really strong one. Really starting, I want to say like 24 on has been really good for the genre.
Mm-hmm. What was right now your favorite JRPG right now? Like
a recent one?
Recent ones, yeah. No remakes.
Yeah, no remakes. Even if it's, well, because part of my reaction there, right, is FF7 Rebirth, because it is such a, like, it's a remake, but it's a little more different.
Yeah, it's true.
But probably Metaphor, like, out of the more recent releases. Yeah. I love me a turn-based RPG, so.
All right. I thought you were going to mention something about, like, Expedition 33.
That's up there too. I do really like Expedition 33. It's true. There's just good stuff. There's just good stuff right now. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Now, speaking of RPGs, this is more of an action RPG, I would say. Like I'll put it close to like a Witcher 3 kind of, right? Something like that.
Yeah,
Crimson Desert, for those that don't know.
Yeah, I think they've actually been trying to distance like the term, like being like, oh, well, this isn't like, yes, there is RPG stuff in this, but like this isn't an RPG. Like this is, you know, an open world action game. Like that's mm-hmm. where the real focus is at. But there's absolutely like some RPG elements go on because like you got gear with stats. You know, the skill tree is a little more, you know, action adventure games have that in general. But yeah, there's absolutely some RPG here. But I think they themselves kind of want to be like, hey, like, yeah, it's RPG, but it's not just that. Like, don't go in expecting, you know, maybe a traditional one.
Yeah, well, I gotta, you know, shout to the team for inviting us to get hands-on to the game. Now, I have to mention this. I went to the event really early. I got there, like, I think it was, like, on the dot, 11 a.m. or something. Or a little before, like 10:40 in the morning. The event was going to start at 11. And there were having some technical issues that a lot of us couldn't play at that time. It started a little bit later, but then only a certain amount of PCs were available for hands-on so people could try out the game. I had to wait until like 3 p.m. in order to play, and then by the time I had to leave, I only got like maybe 2 hours and change, and I feel like it wasn't enough for me to really get it.
For sure.
Like I enjoy the game and everything, but it was just like, it wasn't enough. Like I wanted a more, like you spend a lot of hours playing this game, you know? So yeah, go ahead.
It did 3 hours in that opening bit, which was like just starting a fresh save file and mm-hmm. then doing the opening. And then there was like a later segment. I want to say I probably spent like 45 minutes on that was fast forwarding further in the game. I will say that like similar to you, I enjoyed my time with it, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm excited about for this game, and like I'm very interested in seeing what like hour 40 looks like once you're really in it. But at the same time, there absolutely is a bit of this energy where it's like I played the opening for 3 hours, and I'm still kind of like, okay, I feel like I'm barely scratching the surface of
right?
what this game fully is. You know, like it's a very pretty good length like onboarding process.
I feel like I felt overwhelmed. Do you feel the same way or no? Was it like a me thing maybe? I don't know, because I feel like it was a lot going on.
I agree with you. I think a large part of it is that, one, the control scheme has a lot going on. They kind of step away from like press X to interact for solving all your problems, and instead they have like very specific tools and ways of interacting with the world, and that leads to a lot of different very specific button combinations to do that. Like, I think the best example, I don't know if you hit this point in the beginning part of the demo, but a thing I had, and I know a couple other people I had at the start, is there's like a random early on quest that's like, hey, clean this guy's chip. Just like do some good deeds around town.
I did that one.
There were a lot of people that like, it took a minute to figure out what you were supposed to do because it's like, okay, I grabbed a broom, I equipped a broom, I'm at the chimney, I'm hitting L1 to focus on the chimney, I'm trying to hit the right button to interact, I'm kind of sweeping, but I'm not doing the exact thing it wants me to do. And it's like, oh, wait, you have to get on top of the chimney and be in the right position, and then now it works. And there was a lot of stuff like that where, like, it makes sense in retrospect, and sometimes I even had a couple moments where like, oh, wait, I'm the dumb one here, I should have just done this. But there's a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, the game wants you to really play it a specific way and engage with its systems in a specific way. And actually equivalent a lot of the opening of that game to, it's kind of teaching you a language almost. Like, it's teaching you to play it the way it wants you to play it. And there's absolutely a little bit of like, you know, just baby steps and then learning at the start where you're just like, this doesn't work the way I think it should, but I'm kind of figuring it out now.
But see, you have the patience for that. I feel like a lot of people are not going to have patience with that. I personally going to take my time. Like, I want to learn more about the game.
Right.
And I enjoyed it. I see the potential. Like, I see it.
Yeah.
I just felt like the amount of time that I play wasn't enough for me. So that's why I'm like excited to actually play at home. Don't get distracted. Just focus on the game controls and learn a little bit more about the story, you know, more once I start playing it. But yeah, like, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are probably not going to have no patience and they're like, oh, I'm done. Like, it's similar to like other games, like the Marathon, for example. Yeah. That one, I played it for a lot of hours. It took me a while for me to actually get the game. So I think there's a lot of people that are saying like, oh, I'm done with this game and moved on, you know? So do you think there's going to be a lot like that, in your opinion, where they just not going to have the patience? Because I think, look, any RPG games or any games like that, open world, it takes time for you to learn the process, learn a lot of things about the game, and learn more about the world too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think there's going to be people who get filtered a bit by like this whole opening onboarding part of the game. Because really, like, a big feeling I left with it was that, like, again, I had these stumbles, I had these moments where I'm like, oh, I'm trying to learn a lot right now. And I got to do that later segment, and it's like, oh, now that I have a better idea of how to control the game, I know the tools I'm working with, there is some really cool stuff that's happening in these later parts, and I could see the potential where once the systems fully open up. But this is absolutely one of those games where it's going to be like, hey, man, hour 30 is when this gets incredible. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have some opening, there's some learning going on for a bit that definitely I think is going to get some people to kind of be like, I don't know.
And I want to know how it is, how different it's going to look from like hour 30 to hour 60. How's that going to look too? Because there's going to be a lot more stuff that you're going to open up and things you're going to do, new quests, everything too, right? So, yeah, I'm excited. I also feel like there's a lot going on in this game that I'm going to get distracted easily to go to like different places and not focus on the story. Do you feel like that too when you were trying out for like the first couple of hours where you were like, let me go over here, what is this? Or you were just focused on the tutorial part of
I mostly focused the tutorial only because pretty consistently for like the first couple quests, it was like, hey, by doing this thing, you've now unlocked like this ability or you got the thing to do this. And so I'm the kind of person where I'm like, oh, I don't want to like go full explore mode until I have like all the tools. You know, like if you're going to give me a way to like climb shit easier, like that's I might want to grab that then before trying to climb everything I see. And so yeah, that was something where I did lean the main quest. I did get sidetracked a little bit during my time. Like there's tons of mini games, like
they
introduce you immediately to just doing like an arm wrestling game, but then there was rock paper scissors with like the local kids. There were all these different little interactable bits I saw on the map that I didn't have time to go check out right away. I did a couple side things. Did you do the bounty? There was like an early on bounty quest.
No, I didn't do that. What was that about?
So that was, there's basically like you read the little wanted notice and it's like, oh, this is the guy you want to be on the lookout for. You get kind of a general idea of where he's supposed to be and you know what he looks like. And so when you see him, it's the first bounty. So I think they hold your hand a little heavier on it because it's like, you know, down the street, like not even, it's in the same town, like right away that you find him. You tackle him and then it's like you have to like drag him and bring him over to the whatever the term is, like the jail, basically, to turn him in and get your reward for it. And then that opens up where it's like, okay, here's like other bounties you can now accept, which I didn't get the chance to go out and pursue those just because I was trying to get other stuff done. But that's absolutely one aspect I could see. Like, that's just one example of like the side stuff. I will say, on that matter of like side things and getting distracted, one thing I was very surprised about with our time with this game is that, you know, I think a lot of people have been trying to figure out what the best comparison is for this as far as like what is it like to other games. And one of the things that threw me off is that I was really expecting there to be kind of moment where it's like, hey, like you did the tutorial, you've learned stuff, go. Just like, we're going to drop you somewhere, figure it out. And there's a moment that's kind of like that where you finish the first really big tutorial and you do like a fall down to the earth kind of moment and you land near the big main city. And then I'm like, cool, like now I can just kind of do what I want, right? And then I get a main quest update that's like, hey, by the way, go back to town and talk to this guy. And I'm like, all right, there's still a main, there's still, okay, you want me to go do these other things still? Mm-hmm. Like I kind of wanted like just a push moment to just like go do what you want. And it's still there because you ultimately can. But I'm also the kind of person where when I get this main quest update with a big old exclamation part, I'm like, I want to go. I just got to get rid of that. I want to do that. Let's just get that over with.
Yeah, there was one part where I was just like lost. I didn't know what to do. So there was one where I think it was part of, yeah, this was part of the tutorial. I got a key and it said to unlock some door. Right. But the thing is, I went. It was like a door at a castle, right? But there were so many doors that I didn't know where to go, or I can't. I'm trying to think if there was anything telling me to go to that door. I don't remember seeing it, so there, it was really wasn't. Hard. There wasn't, right? So
no, yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. I was a little bit frustrated, you know. But I think after that, I was okay. It was just that part, like where I'm gonna go. But I noticed that a lot of you guys figured it out. I don't know if somebody found it by mistake and told other people or what. Like, how do you find out? How do you figure out the solution to that?
That finding part I just trialed and errored like my way through it. I just kept ramming into doors because it wasn't like a, you know, press X to interact with door or to unlock it or anything. Yeah. It was literally just you would try to open a door and you'd get a little animation of like, oh, shove against it, knock on it, can't open that one, it's locked. And you just did that until I got to a door that opened and it said you were a key. Guessing. So I was like, all right. Yeah, no, I just tested every single thing I could walk up to. And there's like, this goes back to the thing I'm saying though, right? Like the game is very heavy on this idea of like, it's there's a sense of freedom with how big the world is and how many different things you can do. And like, you know, your sense of like soaking in the environment. But at the same time, it's like every problem has a very specific, distinct solution that they want you to go with. You know, mm-hmm. like there's mm-hmm. a lot of these puzzle segments in these floating ruins, which are beautiful, by the way, like awesome looking vistas. And you're high up in the clouds and you need to figure out these puzzles. And it's less of like a, oh, like just, you know, use your toolkit and find an interesting way to solve this. It's like, no, you need to use your lantern to light up this to then show a trail to this that then allows you to interact by using this power you have. And like, that is the solution. There is no, you're not going to like find your own way to it. It's like, no, there is a toolkit you have and you are meant to find the right key to put into the right lock.
Was this your first time playing the game? Because I played a demo. What was it? I think it was like maybe 2 years ago or so at the Game Awards. They had like a little, they had a room there at the JW where you go, get to play the game. And I really enjoyed it, but at that demo, it was only bosses. It wasn't like open world or anything like that. Have you got the chance to try it out?
Yeah, so I didn't do that demo. I think that was like the first demo they started having people go to because I've heard a couple people mention that one.
Yeah.
I did a demo at PAX West last year. That was like a specific quest. Like it started off with me in Free Roam, but it was basically like, hey, guided, like, hey, go talk to that guy to like start this quest and then you'll do stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I played through a whole specific section where we were like sieging a castle and then I fought a boss at the end of that. And it showcased a lot of like the interesting systems, but because it was such a, it was a more guided kind of tour and experience and not just a like start playing and figure it out for yourself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, that kind of comes back to it, right? Like when I played that demo, I was like, cool, I can see a lot of the greatness here, but I'm also like, how does all of this actually kind of come together in the moment-to-moment gameplay? And now that I've played it for like 4 hours, I kind of still feel that way.
Really? You still
so
do?
Much.
Okay. And why is that?
There's so much.
There's so much, that's why?
I think that's a large part of it. Yeah, there's so much. Because like, as we mentioned, right, it's like I mainlined like looking at the quest, but you know, especially talking with people there or just seeing some of the other options, it's like, oh, you know, I didn't go check out this area to see what that's about. I didn't engage with this particular type of quest. I know one thing I missed out on that is cool and I'm glad I know about it in retrospect now, but I misunderstood the skill menu, because a lot of the skills would have things like, you know, oh, like you have to do this in the story. And then it says in little text, like, or just like spend a skill point right now. Because there's a lot of abilities that you can just learn by seeing them happen like in game, which is a cool mm-hmm. idea. But you can also just skip ahead and learn it early if you want. And so I didn't engage with a lot of those because I was like, oh, I haven't like unlocked it yet. And then I was seeing other people playing, like, wait, where are you doing these like lariats and clotheslines and stuff? Like, where did you learn that? And they're like, oh, mm-hmm. I just opened up the skill menu. I was like,
interesting.
Read that wrong.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm telling you, like, I really want to take my time with this for sure. Yeah. Now, and to tell everybody who's watching or listening to this, we only got to play the PC version. There was no console versions
yes.
at all. So hopefully we'll get to see the console versions late in the future, I guess, at launch. We'll see. I'm getting the PC version for sure. But it looked good, man. Like, graphically, it looked great. It was very, very smooth. My set was good. And also I had the ultra wide screen on that one. Mm-hmm. Was it yours set up like that? Because I noticed there was some people that had it normal and others had it ultra wide. For me, it was ultra wide.
It was ultra wide by default. And then there were some people, and honestly, I should have had this thought as well, but I was too ready to just dive right in. Some people changed it to 16:9 because we were able to record gameplay, and people that are uploading 16:9 videos were like, hey, wait a second.
Wait a second. Yeah, you're
I
right.
I want to put this up in 16:9. Yeah. So that was. Yeah, I have a bunch of 21:9 gameplay, so I'm going to make myself a 21:9 video, turns out.
Oh, my God. That's going to be interesting on that. But also, we're going to get, hopefully, we get B-roll from the team and everything like that. Anything else, Kevin? Anything else? Do you think that this game is going to get, you know, some good feedback from the community? I personally think that there's a crowd that are going to love this type of game. Because they just love open world. They love the amount of hours to play and discovering new things and everything. For me, as I'm one of those, right? But I also love short games, you know? So how about you? You like RPG games and open worlds and stuff like that. So do you feel the same?
I'm kind of on the same page overall. Like, again, like my main feeling leaving this demo, right, was that like I had some of my frustrations with the early bits. And there's absolutely this aspect of like, you got to learn to play the game on its own terms and learn all these freaking systems. But also, you know, with the little bits I got to see the end, one thing I didn't get to do that I saw a couple people try at like the very end of the day was they were able to like summon the dragon to ride around and like fly on the map. Yeah. Man. And it's like, see, I see these things. And I know the potential of like what late game can look like. And that has me legitimately like super excited, and I mm-hmm. still have fun with the early bits, but so much of the early bits are like, okay, like I'm working my way towards being able to do all this cool other stuff that I know this game's gonna have in there. And so like, yeah, I think at least based on the segments being able to play, I feel like there's a very good game like at the core here. It's going to get a strong audience, but I do have this like hesitation a little bit with the idea of, like we were saying earlier, like, are people gonna get filtered out? Like, are people just not gonna have the patience for it? Or, you know, at what hour point does the game really truly feel like you've gotten a grasp of everything? And is that early enough for most people to be willing to like stick by it?
Do you think it was a mistake for us to see the beginning of the game? Or do you think it would have been a better thing for the team to show us later in the game? So for us to like actually see what's next after the early stages of the game?
I think getting both is good because, I mean, it depends on what your definition of is good for them. But like, I think that's a good informative like take to have, is like knowing that the start is going to be that way. And I think having that expectation going in is mm-hmm. better than just being like, oh man, I'm going to go into this open world game where I can do whatever I want. Like minute one, it's like kind of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think setting that expectation is important. And also like, I realize this ended up not being your experience, but again, I did get to do like a later part of the game. And that's also because I was one of the people that was just able to sit at a station like right away. And so I think that was their intent for everyone at the event, was to have those two ends of the spectrum to be able to work with and go off of. And just sadly, due to technical difficulties, it ended up not working out that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But overall, it was cool. It was great to see everyone there. I haven't seen it in a very long time, you know, and it was interesting seeing people's reaction playing it. There was people next to me that were just like exciting, screaming, laughing, cracking up. I think one was trying to feed a dog. As one of the quests. You did that quest?
I didn't do that quest, but I did. I think I overheard the same person.
Oh, you said, oh yeah, we were like near. Yeah, we were like near and stuff. Yeah, but she was just like, no, I have to feed the dog. I'm like, okay, do your thing.
Cool.
All right. It's okay. It's all good. Yeah.
And that's the thing is that there's just so much in the game, right?
Yeah,
like, I just feel like there's so many different little interactables and so many different things that can come up where, again, like, we had 3-ish hours and I'm hearing people talk about doing stuff that I was like, I didn't even realize I could interact with that way or like do that.
I think that's going to be the best part about the game, where our friends are probably going to discover stuff that we haven't. And we're going to be exchanging, hey, you got to do it like this. I think there's going to be a lot of conversations like that for this game, for sure. Well, Kevin, anything else, Kevin? Anything else? And also, what's next for you?
Jeez. Stuff. Anything else for the game? Yeah, I think we covered all the main stuff as far as, like, just, again, scope of it, learning process, potential really cool, like, late game when you get there. But, yeah, like, there's just so much for that initial learning curve. And as for me, you know, I'm just, you know, making regular content right now is my main goal. I'm got a couple upcoming things I'm excited about, a couple embargo things I can't talk about just yet, but
yeah,
just cover more games and excited to keep the content flowing.
Your channel, you were like to me the Nintendo Go guy. Like every time there's like a new stuff for like Switch 2, I always check out your channel. So you always have like some good information about accessories and games and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
Now my question I got to ask you, man, like your thoughts about Nintendo Switch now? It's been the first year just passed, you know, and what do you think of 2026 for the console?
I feel like they're still figuring out the last like couple months here. I don't know if we're going to be getting another traditional first party direct before we hit that summertime window or not. Cause there's a couple games where I'm like, I feel like they should come out before the 1 year anniversary, but maybe not. Like Fire Emblem is a big one that I'm into, and that's usually kind of like a spring, early summer release. Mm-hmm. But obviously we had a partner direct for that first big direct this year. And then it's like, oh, so what's going on with all these games then? Overall, I know some people have some hangups with some general direction with stuff with the system. A lot of it, I think, ultimately boils down to they're waiting for like a Breath of the Wild, you know, because that was such a big part of the Switch's success, was having that, like, that's the game. And that's not to say the Switch 2 has not had some great games. I mean, Donkey Kong Bonanza is fantastic.
Fantastic.
But it is not that same degree of, like, you know, breakout kind of hit. So, like, I think there's a lot of people just kind of waiting for that particular title. And what's honestly really rough is just the timing of it, not because of, like, Nintendo itself, but just gaming tech in general, you know? Like, this is not a particularly fun time for hardware, you know, especially if you're looking into like building your own PC stuff. But it's gone into the console market as well, because like these systems are getting more expensive, games are getting more expensive. It's leading to other decisions that some people aren't big on. Like, I know this doesn't affect everyone, but I am one of the people that likes to complain about game key cards.
Oh yeah.
And like, I get why they exist. Like, I understand the, you know, the economics of why that's an option, why so many devs go for it. But I'm also, you know, I'm a little bit of that dinosaur mentally where I'm like, no, but I want to have the thing. Like, I actually want to own this physically and have it. And that's something that's going to actually last, as opposed to like, when the eShop goes down, we'll see what you get to keep.
Yeah. I mean, CD Projekt Red did the right thing with Cyberpunk. I think that to me has been like the best one so far.
And that's the wild one, right? Is that like, you have all these other games where you're like, oh, well, you know, maybe they couldn't because of the size constraints or cost. And then it's like Cyberpunk with a game as large as that. CD Projekt Red is just like, yeah, we're going to do a real physical for that.
Right.
And they're eating the cost on it, but it's like, awesome. Like, thank you.
Yeah. I'm really happy to see Capcom, Resident Evil 9, Resident Evil Requiem getting so much praise from all platforms, especially Nintendo Switch 2. People are very excited. They're like, whoa, this game is for the Switch 2 also? I'm like, yeah, it looks phenomenal. Like, I went to the New York event. Nintendo had a preview event over there. Mm-hmm. And that was the first game I went to play, was that. I was like, I have to see how this is going to look on this console. And I was so impressed. And also Pragmata 2 was another one too. And I was so impressed. I'm like, see? More companies should be doing this. Release these type of games the same time, all at the same time, instead of having it like months later or like a year later. Because I feel like the excitement, people are going to move on and play something else, you know?
No, so. Absolutely. And that's, and like, there's always this argument of like, oh, but they'll finally have it on this platform so they can get it. I mean, this has been a big talking point for like Sony and them like doing some, you know, third-party games on PC way down the line. And it's just like, it's a problem for multiple reasons. And I think the biggest thing is like, kind of as you mentioned, that the hype factor a little bit, like, you know, once a game is already out and it's been out for so long, you might not feel the push as much. Maybe you don't have any friends that are also playing it. Even if it's a single player game, there's that sense of camaraderie of like, hey, we're playing this game, we want to talk about our experiences with it. And so when something comes out like 6 months down the line later, like having that same day is, I think, actually clutch. Like, it's important. Mm-hmm. And so it's great that like Requiem had that experience, and they also decided to also catch up by putting 7 and 8 on there. And I think we are going to be seeing more devs try to do like day and date for a lot of this stuff. Like, I know Square Enix doesn't really, like, they've kind of talked about not wanting to do console exclusives anymore, or like dragging out those releases, and we've seen that reflected in some stuff. I'm sure mm-hmm. we'll see, you know, part 3 of FF7 Remake is probably going to come to as many platforms as it can right on launch day. I think that's overall that good, and it's awesome that Switch 2 is able to keep up. Like, the benefit of the DLSS on it is so great for just giving like a great looking game on that kind of portable hardware. Mm-hmm. I wish the battery life were better, but that's just kind of what it has to be.
Yeah. Now, my last question to you, Xbox. I would love to see Xbox release games on the Switch too. I feel, I know the Bethesda have like their own stuff in there, but when are we going to see an actual Xbox game on the Switch too? Because I know we've been hearing,
demanding.
Yeah, we've been hearing for a while rumors that it's going to happen. Do you think it's going to be Call of Duty? Do you think something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think Call of Duty is always the interesting one because that's such the big name, and it's, you know, it has that like that was the game as far as yearly like sales and tentpole releases go, right? I don't know if that's going to be the first one. I could see them catching up with some other titles first. I mean, as you mentioned really quickly, like Bethesda earlier, I absolutely see stuff like Indiana Jones, that kind of thing, finding ways to run on that platform, because they have already brought like some first party Xbox stuff over, but it's always been the like less demanding stuff. Like Pentiment made its way to Switch, and it's like, of course it did, because it's like, you know, I love that game, but it's not exactly a demanding one technically. And so now the Switch 2 is able to better support that kind of stuff. Look, if any company is, you know, maybe things are going to be different moving ahead right now due to other stuff in the news and the change mm-hmm. in leadership and such. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But at least going off of what the strategy has been the last like year or two, yeah, I fully expect to see like first party Xbox stuff find its way to Switch as long as it's able to support it, which, you know, if they can make them run on Xbox One S, they can make a run on Switch too. Sorry, Series S.
I think they should release Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, that'd be a good fit.
That would be a good fit. Good crowd. People are going to love RPG games. And I see that's also an RPG game. So
yeah. I think Switch really lends itself to, I think local multiplayer, or just like, even though Switch in general has not always had the best like online multiplayer experience and support, mm-hmm. but the idea of like sitting together with people and doing like local games with your Switches is big. And so I see Sea of Thieves and stuff like that being a great fit, because that, you know, that and I forget the name right now, Kiln, the new Double Fine.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It just came out recently. Was a couple months ago.
It's just about to, I think. Yeah, I think it did like the early access, but it's...
Wait, you talk about the pots?
Yeah, the pots.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
That would be a perfect fit.
That would be a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, and I think for like the mature audience, yo, Gears, Halo, might as well just release it, man. You know?
Well, there's supposedly going to be that. What are we getting? Or not supposedly. We know for sure now. The Halo 1 that's like just the campaign.
Oh, the campaign evolved? Yeah. That's a good one to start, because there's a lot of people don't know the story.
Well, it could be, and if they wanted to do day and date, which I don't know their plans on that, if they're going to move away from day and date for like the first party stuff. But if there was one to do that with, that feels like a solid option, because, you know, it's Halo.
Yep. All right, Kevin, one more time. Promote your podcast and also YouTube channel. People can check it out. I highly recommend it. I feel like your production is top-notch.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. YouTube, you can find me just under my name, Kevin Kenson. I don't have any kind of flashy, fun title there, but that's really where most of my stuff is. And then if you're a fan of JRPGs, I do have a podcast I do as well. It's called Party Chat, a JRPG podcast. We have a dedicated YouTube channel for that, as well as just being on all major podcast services. So whether you like having the video on, or you just want audio for while you're stuck in your car, you can find us.
Awesome. All right. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. All right.